Welcome to day 25 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading from Genesis chapter 38 through 40, and we are reading this week from the Amplified Bible, starting at verse 1 of chapter 38 of the book of Genesis. At that time, Judah withdrew from his brothers and went to lodge with a certain Adullamite named Hirah. There Judah saw and met a daughter of Shua, a Canaanite. He took her as wife and lived with her. And she became pregnant and bore a son, and he called him Ur. And she conceived again and bore a son and named him Onan. Again she conceived and bore a son and named him Shelah. They were living at Chazib when she bore him. Now Judah took a wife for Ur, the firstborn. Her name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Then Judah told Onan, "Marry your brother's widow, live with her, and raise offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the family would not be his, so when he cohabited with his brother's widow, he prevented conception, lest he should raise up a child for his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore he slew him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow at your father's house, till Shelah, my youngest son, is grown." For he thought, lest perhaps if Shelah should marry her, he would die also as his brothers did. So Tamar went and lived in her father's house. But later Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. And when Judah was comforted, he went up to his sheep shearers at Timnath with his friend Hirah the Adullamite. Then it was told Tamar, "Listen, your father-in-law is going up to Timnath to shear his sheep." So she put off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapped herself up in disguise, and sat in the entrance of Enaim, which is by the road to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot or a devoted prostitute under a vow to her goddess, for she had covered her face as such women did. He turned to her by the road and said, "Come, let me have intercourse with you," for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may have intercourse with me?" He answered, "I will send you a kid from the flock." And she said, "Will you give me a pledge deposit until you send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give you?" She said, "Your signet seal, your signet cord, and your staff that is in your hand." And he gave them to her and came into her, and she became pregnant by him. And she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he was not able to find her. He asked the men of that place, "Where is the harlot or cult prostitute who is openly by the roadside?" They said, "There is no harlot or temple prostitute here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I cannot find her." And also the local men said, "There was no harlot or temple prostitute around here." And Judah said, "Let her keep the pledge articles for herself, lest we be made ashamed. I sent this kid, but you have not found her." But about 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot, and also she is with child by her lewdness." And Judah said, "Bring her forth and let her be burned." When she was brought forth, she took the things he had given her in pledge and sent them to her father-in-law, saying, "I am with child by the man to whom these articles belong." Then she added, "Make out clearly, I pray you, to whom these belong, the signet seal, signet cord, and staff." And Judah acknowledged them and said, "She has been more righteous and just than I, because I did not give her to Shelah, my son, and he did not cohabit with her again." Now when the time came for her to be delivered, behold, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one baby put out his hand, and the midwife took his hand and bound it upon it a scarlet thread, saying, "This baby was born first." But he drew back his hand, and behold, his brother was born first. And she said, "What a breaking forth you have made for yourself." Therefore his name was called Perez, breaking forth. And afterward his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his hand, was born, and was named Zerah, scarlet. Chapter 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain and chief executioner of the royal guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he, though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hand. So Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight, and he served him. And his master made him supervisor over his house, and he put all that he had in his charge. From the time that he made him supervisor in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the Lord's blessing was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge and paid no attention to anything he had except the food he ate. Now Joseph was an attractive person and fine looking. Then after a time his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "See here. With me in the house, my master is concerned about nothing. He has put all that he has in my care. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, for you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil and sin against God?" She spoke to Joseph day after day, but he did not listen to her, to lie with her or to be with her. Then it happened about this time that Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the men of the house were indoors. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled away, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "Behold, he, your master, has brought in a Hebrew to us to mock and insult us. He came in where I was to lie with me, and I screamed at the top of my voice. And when he heard me screaming and crying, he left his garment with me and fled and got out of the house." And she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. Then she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came to me to mock and insult me. And when I screamed and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out of the house." And when Joseph's master heard the words of his wife saying to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the state prisoners were confined. So he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and loving kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. And the warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, for the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. Chapter 40. Now sometime later, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, Egypt's king. And Pharaoh was angry with his officers, the chief of the butler and the chief of the bakers. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard put them in Joseph's charge, and he served them. And they continued in custody for some time. And they both dreamed a dream in the same night, each man according to the personal significance of the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison. When Joseph came to them in the morning and looked at them, he saw that they were sad and depressed. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so dejected and sad today?" And they said to him, "We have dreamed dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine before me, and on the vine were three branches. Then it was as though it budded. Its blossoms burst forth, and clusters of them brought forth ripe grapes almost at once. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. Then I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will again put Pharaoh's cup into his hand, as when you were his butler. But think of me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, I beg of you, to me, and mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For truly I was carried away from the land of the Hebrews by unlawful force, and here too I have done nothing for which they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also dreamed, and behold, I had 3 cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket were some of all kinds of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds of prey were eating out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered, "This is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, but will have you beheaded and hung on a tree. And you will not so much as be given burial, but the birds will eat your flesh." And on the 3rd day, Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the heads of the chief butler and the chief baker by inviting them also among his servants. And he restored the chief butler to his butlership. And the butler gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. But even after all that, the chief butler gave no thought to Joseph, but forgot all about him. This is the end of today's reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the story of Joseph that we find in chapters 39 and 40. This story is continuing and will continue on for many chapters till the end of Genesis, but it's so profound in all that it teaches us. And the focus I want to take today is how the path to greatness is paved with many tests of integrity. We see here this young man favored by his father, who's betrayed by his brothers and went in a single day from being a prince in his father's eyes and in his household to becoming a slave. And we saw that Joseph was confronted with, first of all, the test of betrayal and what that meant, having his own brothers betray him. And secondly, the test of disappointment and loss. Suddenly, by becoming a slave and being taken away to Egypt, Joseph suffered the loss of his father's love, his family, and the disappointment of what appeared to be the total loss of the dream, the dreams or prophetic dreams that were given to him, that one day he would be a great man, because suddenly he's a slave in chains. So he was tested with severe disappointment and loss in the previous chapter that we read. But today we find him in chapter 39, having arrived in Egypt. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain and chief executioner of the royal guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. So here he is. He's a slave bought by one of the royal household captains or chiefs, one of his officers. And it says in verse 2, "But the Lord was with Joseph, and he, though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now let me make this comment to you. The next test, after the test of betrayal that he had to deal with in his own heart all the way on that long walk to Egypt, the second, the test of disappointment and loss, where he could have just absolutely allowed himself to become so absorbed in self-pity that it would have destroyed him and he would have been no use whatsoever to Potiphar at that point. His attitude would have been affected in a most horrific way and he wouldn't have been able to serve him well. But obviously he passed those tests and we don't see any trace of this, of unforgiveness, bitterness, despair in him when he goes into the house of this Potiphar, this officer of Pharaoh, because the scripture tells us the Lord was with Joseph and he, though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man. Now, how could that possibly be if Joseph had a bad attitude, an attitude of sorrow, of resentment, of bitterness, of grief? It would not have been possible for him to serve Potiphar well if he was burdened down with those types of attitudes. So we know that he passed that test and did not allow self-pity and hatred to creep in, resentment toward his brothers, or even just despair over his circumstances. He obviously passed those tests. Well, the next test he was going to be confronted with was the test of servanthood. Could Joseph go from being a prince to being a slave with grace? Could he serve with a graceful attitude? Could he serve Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, with graciousness, with a servant's heart? Do you know that we all face the test of servanthood at different times in our lives, when perhaps you have to take a job that maybe you think is beneath your skill level or your education level, and you could easily go in with a chip on your shoulder, a bad attitude, feel like you don't deserve to be here, and you don't serve well with that type of an attitude. If that's happening in your life, you're not passing the test of servanthood, because Joseph had to adjust his own heart and guard his own heart and make sure his attitude was pleasing to his boss, Potiphar. You could say his master, because he was a slave. And we know that he passed the test of servanthood, because verse 4 says, "So Joseph pleased Potiphar." He pleased him. His attitude, his servant-heartedness, his servanthood, his work that he brought to Potiphar pleased Potiphar. Joseph went from being a prince to a slave, and yet he adjusted his attitude, he guarded his heart, he passed the test of servanthood with flying colors, to the point that he so pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight when he served him that his master Potiphar made him supervisor over all his house and put all that he had in his charge. He got promoted. You don't become promoted to supervisory position with a chip on your shoulder, with a bad attitude, with resentment in your heart, with jealousy or envy toward other people or other people's positions. So this is a test every single person will be confronted with at some point in life. The test of servanthood. Joseph passed that test beautifully. So then the next test he was going to have to face was this test of promotion. Do you know that being promoted and honored and favored actually is a test to your character? It is a test. It brings other challenges. He could have then developed a new attitude, an attitude of superiority toward the other slaves. He could have had an attitude of, well, I'm the man, especially because Potiphar, in verse 6, left all that he had in Joseph's charge and paid no attention to anything except the food he ate. Now, Joseph could have responded to this promotion with becoming prideful, with becoming feeling like he deserved this promotion and he deserved to get what he could take since he had been wronged by his brothers. He could have become a thief in Potiphar's house with this expanded influence and responsibility that he had, because now he has access to everything in Potiphar's house. It would have been easy for him to feel like he had to, you know, take care of himself and not trust that the Lord would care for him. But he didn't become in any way unfaithful to Potiphar. He was so diligent and so faithful and so full of integrity that when the very next test came his way, which was presented to him through Potiphar's wife, he passed that test too. It was also a test too of his integrity. It was the test of immorality, of temptation to be immoral. You know, think about this. Joseph's a young man. He's never been married. He's been dragged off to Egypt. The scripture tells us he was a handsome, attractive person, fine looking. From all intents and purposes, it appeared that Joseph would never marry. He's a slave. That he would never have a wife, have children. So the temptation that Potiphar's wife presented had to be a very genuine temptation to become immoral with this woman who was throwing herself at him. She kept begging him to be immoral with her. But Joseph maintained his integrity both to the Lord as well as to his employer. His words are so priceless in my heart. It says in verse 8, he refused Potiphar's wife. And he said to his master's wife, "See here, with me in the house, my master has concern about nothing. He has put all that he has in my care." And he goes on to tell him how great of a promotion he received from Potiphar. Verse 9 says, Joseph is speaking, "He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, for you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil and sin against God?" The great evil would have been against Potiphar, against the man who had promoted him, a man who had trusted him, a man who had lifted him up from the slave dragging chains from a foreign nation to inside his house, given charge of all that he possesses. So Joseph recognized it would have been evil against Potiphar and a sin against God. So he maintained his integrity in face of the test of temptation to be immoral with someone who is pressuring him to do so. And it was an opportunity. He probably thought he'd never be married or have a wife, so it had to be a great pressure on him, but he refused to compromise his integrity before men or God. So we see Joseph's character as being developed more and more during this trial that he's going through. He has had to pass test after test, but God allowed all those tests to happen because he was preparing him for greatness. And any path to greatness is paved with character tests, with integrity tests that take different forms. The next test had to be extraordinarily painful for him, especially because he had been so diligent to maintain his integrity before Potiphar as well as before the Lord. The next test that he was going to have to face was the test of false accusation. Oh, because Potiphar's wife was so angry with him for not sleeping with him as she kept requesting and pressuring him, and he kept refusing, she waited until Joseph walked into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the other men of the house, any of the other servants, were indoors. And so Potiphar's wife took her moment, and she grabbed him, literally physically, by his garment, it says, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. He ran from that temptation. He wasn't going to allow himself to get any closer than that. And when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled away, she decided at that moment, "This guy, I'm so angry with him. I'm going to accuse him of assaulting me. And that way I'll get my revenge on him for refusing me." She felt rejected by him, a slave. She's probably very angry about that. So she falsely accused Joseph of assaulting her or trying to assault her, both to the men of the other men, servants in the house, as well as to her husband, Potiphar. She screamed, she cried, or she at least made the implication that had occurred, and she made a big scene. And Potiphar was so angry over the whole matter. But let me tell you something very interesting. In this time, the punishment for such a crime as that would have been death. Don't you think it's interesting that Joseph wasn't sentenced to death, which he could have been on the spot, because Potiphar was the chief executioner of the royal guard. He could have done it himself, and no one would have even blinked an eye. But do you find it interesting, as I do, that Joseph was not sent to the gallows or to whatever method of capital punishment was utilized by the Egyptians at that time? He was sent to prison. I'm sure Potiphar was so frustrated that this happened, because Joseph had been the best employee he'd ever had. His life had never gone more smoothly than with Joseph around. His business of his own household had never been more prosperous than when Joseph was around. Why? Because the Lord blessed Potiphar's house on account of Joseph, the scripture tells us. Do you know that God wants to bless your employer, your company, because you're around? But that will not occur unless you pass the test of servanthood, you pass the test of integrity, you pass the test of promotion. These are critical. And yet Joseph passed all those tests. The Lord blessed his master Potiphar's household because of Joseph's integrity. God wants to do that through your life, and so that your employer, your boss, your supervisor realizes that department is blessed because of you. That company is blessed because of you. That school is blessed because of you. All because the favor of the Lord was on Joseph's life, but it was tied to the fact that he was a man of integrity who honored God in his lifestyle. And God wants that to be of every servant of God, every person who claims the name of Jesus, claims to be a Christian. That should be true about our lives. Have you passed these tests as Joseph did on his way to greatness? It looked like he was in a very bad way, but the truth is he was just in the preparation season for the greatness God had for his life, and it is the same for you. Then Joseph, in this time frame here, in this chapter 40, 39 and 40, the end of 39 and then into 40, we see Joseph having to pass another difficult test. After being falsely accused, Joseph is then sent to prison. Now that is very much the ultimate of humiliation, to be sent to prison, whether it's today in this day and age or whether it was in Joseph's day in Egypt. He went from having a high status of being Potiphar's personal house supervisor over his entire household, and that was high ranking because he was of the royal court. And he went from that position down into the depth of prison. And prison in the days of the Egyptians was nothing like prison today in the United States. It was filthy. It was crowded. It was a horrible place to be. It was nothing that was positive about this. And yet, how is it that Joseph is going to shine even in the midst of that situation? Well, it is because once again he passed the test of integrity of heart and character before God. The scripture tells us that he was put into prison, a place where the state prisoners were confined. He was in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and loving kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. Now, again, it would be very difficult to have favor in the sight of the warden of the prison if you came in there with a bad attitude, with anger, with resentment, with hatred in your heart for the person who brought you there to that prison, which would have been Potiphar's wife and, of course, Potiphar also for sending him there. But we know that this test of humiliation, Joseph is totally humiliated, sent into prison, after being on staff of Potiphar's staff, a high-ranking person on Potiphar's staff. And yet, he even passed the test of humiliation by serving well, having a good attitude, humbling himself to serve the prison warden. And the warden of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatsoever was done there, he was in charge of it. He went to prison and became the head of the prison. The prison warden, verse 23 says, paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, for the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. Do you know that if you maintain your integrity, if you keep your heart free from bad attitudes, wicked attitudes, resentment, and bitterness, unforgiveness toward other people who have perhaps caused your circumstances to take a turn for the worse, as Joseph's did in these chapters, if you can keep your heart free from that and keep trusting God for your life, because you know what? Your life is not in the hands of other people. It may feel like it is sometimes, but it is not. If you are a believer, your life is in the hands of God. And God allowed Joseph to walk through this path that was preparation for greatness. It was a path paved with tests of his character, for sure. But everywhere Joseph went, the scripture says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Though a slave, he was prosperous because the Lord was with him. Though he went to prison, the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. That is the same promise we have for our own lives, that wherever we go, whatever we do, as we commit ourselves to the Lord, that the Lord is with us. And God wants to prosper you wherever you are. Are you in the lowest state perhaps you've ever experienced in your lifetime? Maybe financially, maybe career-wise. God still wants to prosper you right where you are, whether you are in prison or in the palace, whether you are in a high-ranking position or a low one, whether you are serving or slaving away, or whether you are a supervisor. God wants you to prosper. The Lord is with you and will make whatever you do to prosper, but you have to guard your heart, guard your integrity, guard your attitude, pass the tests of humility, the tests of servanthood, tests of disappointment, the tests of promotion, tests of even false accusation. If you pass those tests with the help of God and by the grace of God, the Lord will be able to lift you up, make you to prosper wherever you are. So keep that in mind this week as you go, that God wants to prosper you wherever you are with whatever you are doing, regardless of the circumstances or regardless of what other people have done or are doing to you, because they are not your master, but God is your master, and He is able to lift you up and make you prosper and put His favor upon your life, because the truth is, the Lord is with you. Have a great week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.